At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and I'll just let our board op say, hey, go ahead.
Hello, sir.
There you go. All right. We have to identify. That was Seth, by the way, folks. So, and then tonight we have Way Out Yonder in Texas, that New York cowboy. That's an interesting thing. Didn't they make a movie about that? Something about a New York cowboy or something? But anyhow, Big John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie, and I'm excited about tonight, and God bless you and all of our listeners.
All righty, and here live in the studio with me, I have Jonathan Broadbent.
Hey, Pastor.
All right, we're ready to roll tonight. Jonathan is the founder of Unwoke Academy. That's the Unwoke Academy, and also the creator of Financial PMA. We'll find out. I think that's personal.
Private Membership Association.
Private members. We'll find out about that later. Anyhow, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Black Fork, too. That's something that's happening here in Ohio. And Big John, we're ready to start tonight in the 35th Psalm. You ready to get to the 35th Psalm?
Give me a minute.
All righty. And as we go tonight through this, but we have a lot to cover. I mean, a lot to cover tonight. I don't think we'll have time for any phone calls tonight. We may, but
Pastor Ernie, I'm set and ready to go.
All right. Would you read verses 1 through 4?
All right. Starting at Psalm 35, verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded that and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that divides my earth.
All righty, now here, this is the very first imprecatory psalm in Scripture. And so, now, there is one, what is called imprecation, we find in Psalm 5, verse 10. But this is actually the very first imprecatory psalm in the scripture here. And now often, John, you know that David, when he was speaking, he was like a type of Christ. A lot of what David said would apply through Christ there. And you saw the association. He goes ahead and go ahead and pick it up and read. Would you read verses 5 through 8?
Okay, 5 through 8. Yeah, Pastor Ernie, who do you want to read it?
You.
Okay. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they hide from me their neck in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him in unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into the very destruction let him fall.
Okay, so in verse 6 where it said the angel of the Lord, you know, everywhere it's referred to as the angel of the Lord in Scripture. I think except for one place that refers to, that's a Christophany. That's referring to the Lord Jesus himself, a Christophany. And here you're seeing how you can take a look, and as David is making these psalms, how all of this would apply to Jesus too, those that persecute him without a cause. And then he said in verse 8, let the destruction come upon them at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catcheth himself, unto the very destruction let him fall. You know who that would apply to? What good place in the Bible would that apply to more than, remember, Haman? Haman built a gallows for Mordecai. And what happened to Haman?
Yeah, he ended up hung on his own gallows.
Yeah, he was hung on his own gallows. And that's what David is saying here. He's saying, he that hath hid catch himself, unto the very destruction let him fall. Okay, would you read verses 9 through 12?
And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul.
So here David is praying that the Messiah, the Lord, here, the angel of the Lord, would avenge him against those people. And everything he just said here, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things. You know, that's exactly what they did to Jesus he's referring to.
Yeah, exactly, Mr. Ernie. That's what I was thinking. They rewarded me evil for good. What did the Lord do evil that they wanted to crucify him? All he did was good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Go ahead and read 13 through 15.
But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though I had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not.
And that's a very interesting thing here, because in verse 15, but in my adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects. Do you know that word abjects there is used? This is the only time in Scripture it's used. This is one time in all of Scripture. And it, and the definition means a wretched smiters. It's a, referred to as wretched smiters. They gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not, and they did tear me. Oh, okay, would you pick it up
very
and read?
Very interesting, Pastor Ernie. That's very interesting what you just brought out.
Yeah, it is. How many words is there in Scripture? I can't remember now, but for it to be just used one time here.
Right, exactly. That's what, yeah.
And that's amazing. Would you pick it up, verse 16, and read all the way through 21?
With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darlings from the lions.
I will. Oh, you know, stop. We'll just stop right there. You know, here's an interesting thing. Because here in this word, my darling, here, this is he's not referring to a woman here, but actually what that is referring to is prophetically the only begotten son. You know, that's what he's referring to there. So he's referring to the Lord Jesus himself right there. And it's interesting that it would be used in that term. So, go ahead.
Yeah, my darling from the lions, I look at that as, you know, demonic forces.
Yeah, the lions could be that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it.
This that aha, aha, there, that's an expression of malicious, of a malicious joy. They're rejoicing in his destruction.
Yeah, now, Pastor Ernie, this must be pretty rare, too, because I don't really remember, this jumps out at me, I don't really remember that, coming across that before.
Yeah, I think it's the only time that this is used in the Bible, too.
Wow. Yeah, I can't think of any other time that it jumped right out at me as I was reading.
Yeah.
This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my Lord and my God. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let not them rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice that mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout with joy and be glad that favor my righteousness, my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of thy servant. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long.
All right. Thanks, Jim. John, I'm going to try to pull up here. Jake Lang, who is he's a J6 prisoner. He just went out of 40 days. He was in solitary confinement for doing what he did today. He called me here and I couldn't get him on here live. But I taped it now. I got it on my telephone, and I'm going to play this off of my phone because I didn't have the time to be able to get it there to the station and get it here and get it put in. the box, so let me start here. This is Jake Lang. He's been in prison now without a charge for almost 4 years.
Coming up on 4 years.
Coming up on 4 years without a charge. This is tyranny.
And for the simple matter of communicating with people like you,
yep,
he just served another 40 days of solitary confinement.
Yeah. But I tell you, it doesn't seem to dampen his spirit at all. Oh, not only that, he just was, 20 days of fasting. He went on a hunger strike.
Yep.
And so he's praying that President Trump will be elected. Okay, folks, I'm going to see if I can get this going here.
Hey, Pastor.
All right, let me see.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to have to move it up a little bit. Okay.
Political dissidents, such as myself, protesters, patriots, conservatives, and Christians, all be rounded up and tossed into prisons like myself and put into communication lockdown units where they're not allowed to read their voices. Or literally, it's like the George Orwell 1984 book. Your voice, you are unpersoned, and they take everything from you, even your most sacred right, your First Amendment right, to speak to other people and to communicate and get your story out. And so that's the reality I'm living in. And I'd like to tell your audience the story of these last 40 days, what I went through.
All right. Well, that's exactly, yeah. And you know, as often as you can, get on the radio program. I will give you airtime as often as you can get a way to get it to me. And whoever else is up there, again, this is treason. You've committed high treason. And I fully expect them, Jake, to try to another attempt on Trump. They're really paranoid. They're really paranoid. They know if he gets back in, they're going down this time. He's talked about having a military tribunal because of the treason in high places in the deep state there. And so he's immediately got to have to get somebody in charge of the Justice Department. Merrick Garland is one of the first needs to go down. And these people really need to be charged, tried for treason, all of them. So
it's sad, but it's true. And, you know, we're seeing the unfolding here of, I mean, these people are fighting like cornered animals that are desperate, and it's their last lashing out of like an injured, dying, you know, like possum or something like that. And that's what they're doing to me and to the other political prisoners right now. They're trying to inflict as much pain and destroy as many lives as possible. I mean, there are still being people arrested every single day from January 6th, which happened, you know, 42 months ago. And you know, people are being rounded up and their lives are being destroyed, financial ruin. You know, they're being branded as domestic terrorists and they can't get jobs and, you know, families are disowning people. It is treason and it's against everything that we stand for as America. And it goes from the top all the way down to the law enforcement that is complying with these unlawful, unconstitutional orders. All the people that I've been saying this, and this is unpopular, but it's true. All the people that are complicit, every single one of them, in the holding, the arrest, the detainment, the prosecution, the incarceration of January 6ers who did not say, no, I refuse. All those people need to be held accountable in the court of law because they all, just like the Nazis in the Nuremberg trial, they all are complicit and they're liable for what they've done. Instead of saying, no, I will not follow an unconstitutional order, I will not, you know, be a part of this, you know, wicked, wicked holding and destruction of American patriots' lives, these people need to be held accountable, too. The U.S. Marshals, the federal judges, the George Soros prosecutors, all these people are committing treason.
You're absolutely right, and especially Officer Byrd. The one who murdered Ashley Babbitt, that guy needs to be charged with first-degree murder. And, you know, we have that right on camera. And the others that were there that killed the one woman that you were with,
Yes, of course. Officer Lila Morris and Officer Bagshaw that started all the indiscriminate firing of the charges into the crowd. It's a tragedy. These people need to be brought to justice. That's what our God is, a God of justice.
And then you had also Chris Ray's Dirty 30, the Dirty 30 FBI agents that were involved in inciting the crowd. And so, and here, Chris Ray says he wasn't really sure just how many agents were involved out there. But it's really, again, he's another one that needs to be tried for treason. That's treason, what they did. It was a coup against the President of the United States.
It's unfortunate that so many people have been duped into being, like Prime Minister Netanyahu said in his famous speech, I was able to get a couple snippets of it and hear it, that, you know, a lot of these people have become the useful idiots of the insane left cabal, the leftist cabal that's been taking over, you know, the transgender movement of communist transgenders. And most of the people, you know, kind of doing the footwork for these you know, one world order antichrists are truly useful idiots. They're not even necessarily evil in their own hearts, but they're cowards. And that almost is worse because, you know, it only takes a few evil people to get tens of thousands of cowards to fall in line with their, you know, just satanic plots.
Well, you know, one of the things that they're trying to do, like you say, they're still even arresting people now. One of the things what they're trying to do is put the fear into people so people would be afraid to resist the collective. But it's working just the opposite. All it's doing is making people more determined than ever, you know, to get Trump back into office and to get you people out of there and get the Communist Party, get those Pelosi and Schumer and Ray and Garland, get those people in the prison where they belong.
Yeah, I want to talk. I'm going to give a quick testimony to what God's done in strengthening my determination in the face of this. So I just got out 3 or 4 days ago from 40 days of solitary confinement, and you would think that, you know, something like that would make it so that you would recoil, you would stop wanting to fight, you would stop wanting to speak out because of the, you know, incredibly draconian and inhuman kind of retaliation that the facilities, the Bureau of Prisons, the counterterrorism unit, and all the people that are lackeys for Biden and Harris's Department of Justice, you would think that something like that would make you recoil and want to just kind of put your head down and give up. But honestly, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, it's kind of just lit a new match underneath me to go about the fight that we have to free the January Sixers, to dethrone the deep state cabal. It's given me a new fire. I want to be able to reach more people in different ways. And I've had 40 days to think about, all right, now we need to reach people in every different medium, newspapers, social media, radio, TV, and, you know, just double down on our efforts and continue preaching Christ to all the four corners of the world until the day of judgment comes. And, you know, this is the determination that comes from somewhere deeper than the human will. It comes from God's love and the love that we have for our fellow brothers. The Bible calls it a fervent love and constant prayer. And that's what I had, 40 days of constant prayer. And so I'm back out and I'm ready to hit the ground running and, you know, keep using my voice to try to get Trump into office. Because this is a simple fact in one sentence. If you want to see the January Sixers free, vote for Donald Trump. And that's what, you know, millions of people in America are going to the ballot box as single issue voters this year for.
If there was no other issue, and there is, especially abortion, child killing, the sacrifice and offering up of their children to the God of convenience, if there was no other issue but just that one to get you people out, that would be the reason. And I'll tell you what, I'm ashamed of anybody who would call himself a Christian, or anybody who would even call themselves an American that wouldn't go and vote for Trump.
It's the blinding, you know. I believe that the prophet Isaiah, you know, and spoken by in the words by our Lord and Savior Jesus, when he said, "Hearing they shall not hear, and seeing they shall not see, lest understanding enters into their hearts and they come and be healed." It's a veil that's been pulled over them, a supernatural stronghold by the devil that actually makes it so even somebody staring the truth as plain as day and as bright as the noonday sun right in their face can still be blinded to the evils that are besetting our society and still go out and vote and support and donate these candidates and these people that want to destroy them. It is truly, it's like, it has to be, you know, a supernatural demonic veil, a blindness that doesn't come from human sight. It comes from a spiritual blindness that they can't, you know, in their wildest imagination even understand that they are blind. And, you know, there's only one thing that can wake them up, and that's the name of Jesus. And so we've got to really, really penetrate with the gospel into the hearts of these blind people this day, today, and all those around us.
Well, you're right, because we're getting deeper and deeper into the apostasy. This is going to be like this one heck of a summer already. We're seeing things as we get closer and closer, I think, to the election. They're going to get worse. Like you said, the opposition is paranoid. With the very thought of Trump getting back into office, they know what they've done. They know they've committed treason. And the people, you're right, we have to do whatever we can to get the people out to vote. But I look for election fraud, unbelievable, something like we've never seen before. And the good news is you have more and more organizations that are monitoring this, the election fraud. So, I mean, it's going to get a real battle. As we get closer and closer to November, things are going to get, you know, very interesting. But meanwhile...
100%. I mean, we just saw last week the Palestinian Hamas supporter protesters pull a hissy fit and dragging police down the streets in the broad daylight in the middle of Washington, D.C. And you don't see the FBI gearing up in their SWAT vehicles and their militarized, you know, Gestapo outfits and go and kicking in the doors of, you know, these keffiyeh-wearing communist traitors of our country that are attacking law enforcement in the streets. You only see them doing that to the grandmas that meandered around the Capitol. And I think that the two-tier justice system is one of the biggest telltale signs. What they do to Trump and what they do to Hillary Clinton, that's, I mean, look at the difference of the prosecution all the way down to what they do to January 6th, conservative Republican constitutional protesters compared to what they do to the Hamas leftists. You can see the stark differences from the everyday man in America like myself all the way up to the highest positions of power like Hillary Clinton and Trump. This is tyranny, and justice for, you know, a miscarriage of justice for me and for Trump and for our side should be, if they were Americans, they should see it as a miscarriage of justice for all of America, not an us versus them scenario. We have a 14th Amendment, which is, you know, that due process of equal protection of the law, that basically if two people, doesn't matter their skin color, age, race, sexual orientation, political affiliations, if two people commit the same crime, they need to be treated and prosecuted and sentenced in the same way. And we're just not seeing that. So, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. People can't be blind to that, can they?
Well, again, the corruption is complete. Merrick Garland also was involved with that Oklahoma bombing. He was involved in that whole situation down there. He was one of those judges. And so wherever there's corruption, you know, you have these people. He is the absolute most corrupt attorney general the history of this country here today. And I don't know if Chris Reyes is the most corrupt FBI head, but I know he's one of them. But I know that...
That's a tough race.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, Pastor, I want to give a final shout-out to you know, all your listeners there and thank them for all supporting the January Sixers. If you guys want to be in touch with me and what's going on in my case, my trial is supposed to be in 40 days on September 9th, and we'll have live updates of what's going on for jury selection and, you know, all the cross-examinations and all the courtroom drama. If you guys want to go to my Twitter account or my X account, it's at Jake Lang J6. That's J-A-K-E-L-A-N-G, Jake Lang J6. And you guys can stay in touch there. And if you guys are looking to support the January Sixers, well, you know, we're getting back on our feet, God willing. That, you know, God willing, the commissary funds will be transitioning to resettlement funds so that we can, you know, get back into our homes and, you know, get back on with our daily lives and have, you know, things, the financial requirements when we leave prison. So if you guys want to make the donations to help out the January Sixers for commissary and hopefully soon for resettlement and getting situated back into our lives, go to sponsorj6.com. That's sponsor, the letter J, the number 6.com, and become a monthly supporter. This is going to be a long journey home for a lot of us that have, you know, been evacuated from our houses, cars repossessed, you know, bankruptcy declared. And so there are, you know, 1,500 American patriots that have had their lives destroyed. And so, you know, sponsorj6.com supports them all. And we need your guys' help out there just to get through, you know, the legal fees, the commissary fees, and then hopefully one day soon just, you know, getting resituated stuff. So please, guys, go to sponsorj6.com. And thank you, Pastor, my brother, Pastor Ernie. You've been such a just a thoroughbred and a pillar for all of the J6 Patriots. And, you know, your support and your audience's support and love, and most of all, your prayers means the world to all of us in the gulag. Keep fighting out there. Freedom isn't free. We're putting a down payment on it right now, but it may be your turn one day, America, to stand up and to bleed for this country, to sacrifice for this country. So, you know, be prepared and gird yourself with the full armor of God.
All right, my friend, thank you so much, and God bless, and I'm going to do everything I can to get this up on the air coast to coast tonight.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Love you, brother. God bless. Talk very soon.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
All righty, we're back in the... That recording is supposed to be over. They keep going here. Okay. How do we get this thing off?
You know what? If you're not sure, try just volume down.
Okay. Let me do that.
You just hold volume down, and it'll play out quietly.
All right. There you go. I'm just going to go with this here. There you go. I just turned it off. That's, anyhow... We're back, and we have Jonathan Broadbent, and we're going to be talking about corrupt redistricting. Tell us what is going on here in Ohio.
Oh, my gosh, what isn't? Ohio is under attack, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start with the answer. The answer is remember to vote no on issue one. In November of this year, we've got a ballot initiative. No on issue one. Now, remember... Things can be deceiving.
Were they? The last time issue one, they really deceived people. We did our best to try to, but they were so good at deceiving.
Yep.
They twisted it completely the opposite of what it was. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're spot on. That's exactly right. So no on issue one is where we're headed with this. I'm going to give a little bit more detail, but just know this. Trump voters are voting no on issue one in Ohio. Trump voters are voting no on issue one in Ohio. Vote no. All this stuff, if you're in Ohio, if you know somebody that's in Ohio, if you care about Ohio, tune in on all the social media platforms and engage in the conversation. Listen to the there are a handful of people, actually a couple of surprise characters are coming out of the woodwork to pipe up and send out messages to the public to vote no on issue one. Among them, we've got some, we've got an interesting mix of our Governor Mike DeWine has come out against issue one. He has released a statement that issue one is not right for Ohio. Keith Faber. We have Representative Beth Lear from Central Ohio has released a statement no on issue one. Representative Jennifer Gross from Southern Ohio, that's District 45, has told me personally that she plans on releasing a statement. I can't speak for her, but I believe that a statement is pending relative to issue one. So if you're a fan of the wonderful Jennifer Gross, Representative Gross, watch her office for a statement on this. Here's the deal. Pastor, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to imagine that your listeners are probably not fans of Barack Obama and Eric Holder. Yeah, you think that's probably...
You'd be right about that.
Yeah, probably good. You're good. We're in the right audience then. Yeah. I'm being facetious here. So Obama and this man, Eric Holder, launched a strategy years ago, many years ago, that's, it's got some facets to it. It's got some head, some beastly tentacles and heads to the thing. It's basically sue till they're blue. And we've seen them go after various different states to give outsized voice to the Democrats and take control of states and to crush the Republican voice and really annihilate anybody conservative. So what that looks like is they go in and change the way that the composition, the structure of the political parties. In Ohio, let's face it, Ohio's the cheapest state on the block right now. Ohio is easy to access and manipulate through our state constitution. So just if you'll humor me for a second here, Pastor, we've lost our grip on sanity in the United States. We have a constitution. We actually have a federal constitution, and we have a state constitution in Ohio. They are supposed to be as simple as possible. It's kind of like you want your state, your constitution to kind of be like the Ten Commandments. Here's some basics about how to behave, people. Behave yourself, and that's it. The composition of our elected body, our representative government in Ohio, leans right. And they've been doing a good job of blocking the lunatic left. The radical left have been hitting roadblocks. They try and get in through the Senate, through our House. They sue. They get into the Supreme Court, and they keep losing. Frequently, not always, but frequently, they're losing. They know, the left know, that their only means of getting into Ohio and changing the way that we are as a state, the composition, the everything about our state, the way they can change everything is through our constitution. So they're loading up garbage into our state constitution. Last year, as you referenced, Pastor, it was this marijuana bill and the baby killing bill. They changed it so that you can kill babies up to date of birth, partial birth abortions. It's disgusting. They did it by confusing people, and they're manipulative masterminds, the left. They're doing the same thing this year. And, Pastor, they planned on two more things jammed in this summer because, of course, it's summer. People are not paying attention. They're on vacation. The legislative session takes a break. That's when they do their evil, dirty work. They've come in with a planned two more amendments to our already bloated and overstuffed state constitution. One was the plan to make a $15 minimum wage. Well, that got shot down. It didn't work for them. But the other of the two is still making its way. It's going to be on the state, the election, the ballot in November. November 5th in Ohio. Remember, no in November. No on issue one. So here's what that thing looks like. We have a way that we draw political maps in Ohio. So bear with me a second here. I want to give, I know that I gave the tagline. Now I want to give a little bit of detail. Just to back this up for anybody that asks, I want you to have a couple of arrows in your quiver. The way that we draw maps in Ohio, no matter what we do, we've seen it for years, it doesn't matter what results, the left will call it gerrymandering.
Every single time.
Even when we give it generously in their favor, we give them more voice than they rightfully should have. Because when you look at the composition of Ohio, anybody that's ever looked at the political map, we're overwhelmingly red with a couple of dots of blue. But we've given them outsized voice. It's not enough. They keep claiming it's gerrymandering. So issue one is effectively the same thing that the left have done to Michigan, Illinois, New York, California, and other states like them. That it takes away the accountability and the people's access and vote for how the maps are made. It takes away our rights and our access. It does exactly the opposite of what the billing for this thing is. So let me give you a little glimpse here in case you haven't gotten a postcard or seen one of the little, I'm sure they're going to be these knee-jerk, tear-jerker commercials about how you're some sort of horrible monster if you don't vote in favor of the thing, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to flood the airwaves with $60 million of out-of-state money, that's my guess at figure, trying to influence people and tug at your heartstrings. So the way that maps are drawn in Ohio is really important because it decides if it figures into effectively how our legislator ends up being voted in, who ends up being voted in. They're pushing to try to get more power and control. That's effectively it. I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but here's my reason for asking, Pastor, if I can come on the air with you. If you're in Ohio and you care, here's the thing. Please, people, don't wait around for the GOP. Don't wait around for the Republican Party. Get active. Get involved. Find people like me who are raising my voice, and there are a lot of us. If you know one of those politicians, follow them on social media, post, repost, rebroadcast, grab stuff, grab some of the images that we're making, their little taglines, their bullet points, email them to everybody you know. That, Pastor, is what wins. That is what I call coalition warfare. That's us fighting back at the grassroots individual level. I know that it's not as easy, and some people would like to think that we're going to have a state Republican Party that's going to step up and create something right now. And personally, I point my finger at Speaker of the House Jason Stevens and the Blue 22. They've disrupted everything, and the fallout from that will be felt for decades probably. But all that aside, my point is, don't wait around for somebody or some group or the Republican Party. It's on us.
Right.
Regular, average, everyday citizens getting the word out. No on issue one.
We have to get the word out right now, too. I mean, and continue. We have to stay on top of this thing.
Yep.
Okay, so, in fact, so what we'll do is you keep on it, and we'll have you coming back, and we'll keep reminding you on a regular basis. We'll remind people.
Tell me about
Black Fork.
All right, so here's the deal with Black Fork. We're switching gears here. It's more shenanigans in Ohio. So any out-of-state listeners, bear with us a second here. This is kind of specific to Ohio, but then again, it's really not, because these are really kind of the general strategy of the left. So what's happening in Ohio is there is a far-left group called Black Fork, and they are, for lack of a better term, they're ballot harvesters. They're the people that go out and they sign people up to enroll, to get on the voter rolls. And they're candidate. You can look it up on their website. They proudly proclaim that they want to skew Ohio into the progressive left. I forget exactly the terminology they use, but they're not hiding it.
Communism.
Yeah, they're far left group. And here's what's happened. Apparently, last election cycle, there was some red flags went off in Cuyahoga County. That's the Cleveland area, right by Lake Erie, North Ohio. And some complaints went to Frank LaRose's office, Secretary of State Frank LaRose. And something happened in his office where it really wasn't effectively dealt with. And so this year, this Black Fork group has surfaced again, but this time it really hit a major nerve and a big splash because there are a couple of names here. You don't have to remember the names, but they're kind of the connections are important. It turns out that our current head of the Ohio Republican Party, Alex Triantafilou, Alex T for short, Alex, in addition to heading the Ohio Republican Party, also serves on his county board of elections in, I believe it's Hamilton County. And in that county, one of the Black Fork people who was going out and creating a bunch of allegedly fake ballots, a giant stack of alleged fake ballots, and they're, from what I hear, they are blatantly fake. They made a mistake. They made a mistake that was caught. And that led to the uncovering of a big stack of these fake ballot petitions, effectively requesting absentee ballots for people. And this group allegedly making, I have to keep saying allegedly because none of this has been proven out in a court of law yet, but it's being openly talked about. And there's video of Alex T. at the Board of Elections meeting holding up this giant packet of papers, really visibly upset by the thing. So here's what it looks like. This is, that's a couple of hundred ballots, I think. But it turns out that Black Fork is the largest, by a huge margin, I think that what we're hearing is they're the largest third-party enroller in the state of Ohio for the elections, for the voter rolls. And just recently, don't quote me on the numbers, but I'm going to be pretty close, I understand that so far this year, Black Fork in Cuyahoga County alone, again, that's just a number that I happen to know, that one county where Cleveland is in North Ohio has submitted 6,700 new voter registrations. So these are voter registrations coming from a company that was just discovered to have at least a giant stack of major ballot initiatives or allegedly fraud. I'm not in the habit of saying allegedly a lot, but
yeah,
I think the lawyers
make
it. You know what I'm trying to say here. This is all alleged until it's proven out in a court of law. But we now have some pretty powerful people that get a lot of attention. And the head of the Ohio Republican Party is going to garner a lot of attention. Even if he does nothing from this point forward, there's video of him angrily waving this fat stack of allegedly fraudulent new voter registrations and tie that together. And now let's extrapolate, Pastor. So I laid a little groundwork for the conversation. If we've got 6,700 new voter registrations from this one Black Fork third-party registering company, in Cuyahoga County alone, there are 87 other counties in the state. How many ballot new voter registrations has this company submitted? That's a key question. And of them, how many are valid? Because if we're not asking that question assertively at this point, if we are not in the face of Black Fork, then we're not doing our job. And it's up to us, Ohio residents, at this point, to let Secretary of State Frank LaRose's office know what we expect of him. We expect of him and his office a thorough investigation. That means we've seen things in the past, and this is not an accusation. I'm not casting stones at Secretary of State Frank LaRose, but in many of these environments, we've seen them go out and just put a little bit of window dressing on an issue like this. They might go to Black Fork, get a letter that says, oh, well, we investigated and we discovered that it was just one rogue agent and they've been fired. We dismissed them. So all's good. And then they create a press release out of that. That's not going to fly. There are too many people that know too much about what's at stake this year and our intention of scrutinizing every step in new voter registrations in every county, everywhere, all the time, especially when third-party registration firms, ones that openly, candidly, visibly lean heavily left when they're involved, and we discover any instance, much less a fat stack of them, of wrongdoing, that's time to pull out the magnifying glass, send in the army of lawyers and bean counters and accountants and you name it, and pour through the books, pour through everything that Black Fork is doing. That's what needs to happen, like starting first thing in the morning.
Well, we need to keep on top of this. I want you to come back from time to time, keep updates, keep an eye on Black Fork. Let us know what they're up to, just like Nowaka. My guess is they'd be working together. Black Fork and Nowaka, they're the same.
Yep.
Again, folks, what you're talking, these are communists, and freedom isn't free. Freedom's not free. They want to take away your freedom. That's what they're up to. They're absolutely the Democratic Communist Party. Their goal is to take away all of your freedom and depopulate. In fact, they really want to take away your life. Their goal is to depopulate this planet, okay? Anyhow, if you don't stand and you don't fight for your freedom, you don't deserve a minute of it. You don't, okay? Good people spilled their blood. And
yep.
So we're coming up to a break. What did you say? How much time do we have for that break?
Minute 45.
Okay, Style. All right, very good.
Can I interject something really quickly? Mm-hmm. So you talk about freedom isn't free and people use the term freedom seeds and stuff like that. Let's be fair about where we are. We look at the Greatest Generation and the wars that have been fought. Those are actual physical kinetic engagement. Those are fights that are physical. That's threatening. That's harmful. That's violent stuff. We, compared to them, we have it easy. With these keyboard warriors, we can be keyboard warriors. You can fight literally from your sofa. The thing that bothers me is people that aren't willing to at least send emails to people like their Secretary of State to call up their representatives. That's, you think about what's at stake and what this fight entails. It's so much easier than our forefathers have had to deal with. We don't have muskets. There are no knives and blades coming at us, at least not yet. We just simply need to step up in much more, much less physically threatening ways, like emails.
Well, if they don't stack up now, then we're going to have to. We'll be going to the bullet box and not the ammo box, and not. I mean, that's coming. A lot of us are not willing to give up our freedom. You know, it's a whole lot of us aren't. But if the people don't stand up, if they can't continue to say, well, why doesn't somebody do something? They've got to become somebody. They've got to do.
They
something.
Are that somebody.
I know we're coming up to a break and. Then we have a whole lot after this break coming up. So listen, I want to thank you, Jonathan, for that. And keep on top of this for me, will you?
Will do. Thanks for having me, Pastor.
All righty. We'll be back right after this, folks, with a whole lot more. Don't go away.